Blog Talk Radio.
It's the Morning Show.
Okay, you want to rehearse it one time before we go in the air?
With award-winning journalist Cheryl Smith.
I'm good. I'm not that good.
Bringing you informative, enlightening, thought-provoking, inspiring, and entertaining talk radio.
Stand up real quick. Come on. Come on. Yeah, we gotta stay. Yo, everybody, come get your bounce on. Get your bounce on. Get your bounce on. Don't be cute with it. You gotta get. Come on. Fifth one. Fourth one. Come on. Sing it.
I never knew.
They gon' wanna hit the horns.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the World According to Drew. I'm Andrew Wynn live, all the way live. Don't even have to walk, don't even have to drive. You just fly, fly, flippity fly. Forget about the troubles in the 9-to-5. We're going to just sail alone. That's what I would do this morning. Boy, I am feeling good, feeling good. Hey, I hope you, I just can transform through this airways and make you feel good as well. Today is the 31st of July, the last day of the seventh month. I'm telling you, we're halfway done with this year. seems like we just got started. But as always, read the African-American newspapers, no matter where you are. We have a conglomerate of news resources led by the award-winning, and I repeat, the award-winning Cheryl Smith. No excuse for the news. We got it all right here on the World According to Drew. So much is going on, so little time to talk about it. Early, we're going to bring in the Prime Minister of Oak Cliff. We got some things. We'll run it down while he's on. Go ahead and he may mute a little bit, but I'm going to go ahead and bring him up live. Some of the things we'll talk about, Brittany Griner. Are they playing political chess with Brittany? Something to think about. Gas prices going down. Who's going to get the credit? I know who got the blame for the high prices. We'll see how that's going. Uvalde. Principal's back in the saddle. I want to think and talk about that a little bit this morning. Are we on the right track with that? COVID numbers, as I said, are up, even in the White House. Think about it. Shootings. Boy. 18, 16. They buying guns, getting guns. What can we do, America? Mega Million. Those things are going round. Did you get your ticket? The emergency plan, I'll go back to Uvalde. That's, man, it's just so much going on. COVID shootings, hot weather. We did get a little rain yesterday. Boy, I felt that cold front every bit of 20 minutes, if that much. But you know what? We got a whole 2 hours. Got a special guest coming on at the top of the hour. And we'll see where we go from there. But let me bring in the Prime Minister of Oak Cliff, the Grand Reaper of Illinois. Huh? None other than... Well, that sound told it all. None other than the Triple H, Harold Horatio. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, sir. Good morning. I have a disclaimer real quick. I by no means want to be known as a shock jock, but we're going to need some callers this morning. We got some things we need to talk about. I want to say some things, shake some people up. See if we can give them a call in and join in on the fun this morning, Drew.
All right. Well, we're going to have some young folks on, too, this second half. But that's all right. We just tell everybody keep it. Give them something to think about, but we're going to keep it in that tight framework. And we're going to have some young folks that I work with all week. And other than that, man, we do what we do. But speaking of things, let's go to... I'm going to make you laugh today. The old computer went out. So when you're setting up dates, sometimes you're a day behind.
What?
But you know what? Yep. So, you know, the show must go on. You can't turn left when you're looking right. One of them situations. But we'll get it together this morning. I'll tell you, Harold, let's look at this Brittany Griner. We'll go. Now she's being paired with another American for one individual that's over here. Yeah. Mm-hmm. They're trying to get two for one.
Boy.
Now, I do appreciate the White House, and we'll say all involved, are trying to get her home. So now it's a package deal.
Hey, go man, ahead, like a sister alone ain't
enough for the deal? Not in this case.
Nah.
And then Russia's trying to get their guy back. And we'll talk about the proposed trade. I mean, like who's on the clock? Like it's an NBA... Major League Baseball or NFL draft board, the way they're making it. So we're going to We're going to get this together this morning because I really feel kind of cheated on this one. Really cheated. Okay, they're calling
it's like they muddy in the water.
She said they treat them decent. They got pictures. I mean, she's smiling for the camera, but what happens when the lights go out?
Exactly.
When the camera's not rolling? We don't know. That's the thing. But let me just give you a little bit. There's a caption here online with her. It says, WNBA and two-time Olympic gold medalist Brittany Griner holds images while standing in a cage, not in a jail cell, a cage in the courtroom before hearing a Russian, a hearing in Russia. Now, first of all, this CNN. No, I take it back. I take it back. I apologize. This is called the Texas Tribune. Harold, find out. Are they located? I don't know where they located.
Who is it?
The Texas Tribune.
Texas Tribune?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm on it.
All right. We need to kind of know where
they're
from. Could be. Could just be a blur, but they're talking about, like, first of all, folks, we got to look at the fact that they cage.
Man, I nailed it. Headquartered in Austin.
Okay, well, but when you think of a cage, do you put people in cages?
No, you think of a canary, a parrot, a dog.
You get
a cat.
You get they're flying away. We need something on the ground. You going up in the altitude. When I think of a cage, I think of a zoo. If you're in jail, they even say a jail cell, not a cage. Folks, we got to wake up and see really how people think of folks in America. A cage? Why could it have been a holding cell for court? Or behind bars. I'll take that. Take that. But a cage? Come on. Folks, let's read between the lines. A cage. Not a holding cell.
She's like animal.
And she homegrown. Where's the respect? Where is the respect? And let me just read a little bit and say the Biden administration has offered a deal to Russia to bring home Brittany Griner, WNBA basketball star from Houston, facing a trial on drug charges. And Paul Whelan, another American held in Russia, Secretary of State Anthony Blinken said, okay, you got to tell who Brittany, shouldn't be no question who Brittany may be to Texas. But who is Mr. Weldon? Who is Mr. Weldon? You got to say she on drug charges. What charges are he on? See, you got to tell a story. You can't just make it up, or you can't just tell it. If you give me a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, tell me I got a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. Don't tell me I just have peanut butter or jelly. I want to know the brand too. But when you say somebody in a cage, and then along with, you know, somebody else held in America, was he in a cage too? Okay, as far as Russia, they want to release Griner and Whelan in exchange for Victor, not V-I-C-T-O-R, V-I-K-T-O-N, Victor, boat. He's a Russian arms trafficker imprisoned in the United States. When your hands are tied, your hands are tied. Now, we have to remember, we want Brittany home too as well. But hell, they said they're all set in political stages right now. I feel if the president, current president, get out, they gonna say, but why are they putting emphasis on trying to get her out of jail? If he doesn't do anything, they'll say, well, we figured he wouldn't do nothing. So you know he can't win by certain eyes and certain persons.
Right. Right.
You know, and you not to say much on Sunday, but the old saying, damn if he do, damn if he don't.
Yep.
It's a travesty. A travesty that, again, I'm very upset. A cage? Come on, y'all. And Cheryl said, don't believe the hype. Don't believe the hype.
It's a sequel.
Now, they released the other gentleman, Trevor Reed, remember him? He was released from a Russian prison in exchange earlier this year. Reed was traded for Kostantin. He was a Russian pilot, served 20 years of federal prison sentence for cocaine smuggling and conspiracy. Man for cocaine. Drugs for weapons. Yeah, I'm playing on words this morning. The first one with a cocaine in exchange for a U.S. citizen. This has been known. The other guy now has been known to smuggle arms in and potentially out for some cannabis. You go figure. Just something to think about. Stirring up a little bit this morning. So that's what we do. We want you to put your thinking caps on this morning. I just don't know. I just don't know how we're going through this mess. We can't just go in and bombard our way in. It's just too much. You know, some people earlier talking about, well, the president need to go. No. I've never seen an active president go in live to a country trying to get some prisoners. Have you? Not in my lifetime. Not in my lifetime. But what we have to do as citizens, folks, when you go abroad, let me just tell you this. People can plan things. Yes, they can. But when you go abroad, can you just, if you got to have them cartridges and vapes, can you just hold off? Can you smoke everything before you get over there? Now, they never said they'll test blood of somebody being high or drunk going overseas. I have not heard of that yet. But when you carry contraband and illegal substances, you're more susceptible to being checked. And if you got a tan that they can't stand internationally, that's a whole nother ball game. But at least understand that you can be, they can go through your stuff if need be. You just need not to have it. Let that lesson be learned. So they check for everything. And if they suspect some, they may dust your luggage with gunpowder. You can't take no liquid on there. So why are y'all trying to sneak bottles on the plane? Now, Harold, you can put a bottle in your luggage. That's what I don't understand. You put a case of water down underneath. Now, when you come back from international flights, you better believe, and I've seen it, they will search your luggage. They will open it up for the dog to sniff. So that's why I encourage you to wash everything you get when you come back. The last thing that's been through your luggage. Ren, Ten, Ten, all of them. If kids, you don't know what I'm talking about, Scooby-Doo, all of them going through your luggage. And you can't say nothing about it. You try to lock it, they getting through it some kind of way. We just have to be more aware. It's tough here on our ground, but it's a whole nother ball game when you go overseas. I'm getting ready to embark on going overseas myself. They won't find no cannabis because I don't do cannabis in America. So if they get me for that, you know they planted something in my luggage. Wasn't me. But when are we going to understand not just American law, international law? Too many people travel abroad. So many people get captured that we don't even know about. Some people defect over there to get away from here.
Yeah.
Live productive lives potentially over there, same vice versa. But if you, my lesson to you, if you do everything right, the likelihood of wrong finding you is a lot less than if you're doing something wrong. You know, trying to sneak something over internationally. Increase your odds for success. Don't decrease by giving them, well, I can stick it in my shoe. Can you do without it? You're going to Russia, drink some vodka or something. Now, your doctor, I mean, I'm just putting it out there. She said her doctor, she was having pains and stuff, prescribed that for her. May have. I can't make her guilty on that part. But if you know you're carrying something like that, then don't you need to check and see if it's internationally accepted? Or just don't take it at all. Some in the water stank, Harold. Some. But we need to get on home. Get her back home. Get her back home. But that paper, folks, and I'm going to talk with Cheryl when she get on. I see she's on now. Something ain't right with that paper. Yeah, Brittany in a cage. A cage. Not a jail cell. Then they expedite it. Is that what I want to do? I got a chance to see Lean on Me this week. We need to expedite Brittany. We don't know what they're doing, if they're doing anything. We need her home. I know her life partner has stress importance. I don't know who advised her, but you know the president ain't going over there getting nobody. And you close to a war zone, too? No. Yeah, representatives, people with special talent to go in and bring Brittany back home. All we can do is pray now. Hopefully things will come on out the right way for Brittany Griner and the other American prisoner that's over in Russia. All right. Harold, we've been hearing so much about Uvalde. I'm going to give a list of the shootings since last week. Now the state want to say, okay, well, maybe we need to consider raising the purchaser age to 21. We have a chance to do that. Wait, what happened? Where's our right? We should be 18 is grown. All right, we'll bring the cigarettes back at 18. They still get them anyway. And I was grown was 21 way back in the day. I don't care if you turn 18. You got some rights and privileges. But we set on 21 in our households. I say make them uniforms. Because the 18-year-old guy didn't look what happened. He took lives and got his life taken. How many signals do we need from here on out about we need responsible people buying guns? You can get guns on the street. That market is awful. But when you can go to a legal place to buy a gun, think you need to be 21. With 18, you don't think rationally. You think about now. You don't think about later. Some people think about now as well when they get the gun. But it's not a delayed process at all. I think when you mature at 21, or partially mature, you got time to think about some things if you're going to buy it legitimately. But this is something that we really need to address. And I hope our House and Senate get together on one accord. They never can get it together. Things pass in the House, and then the Senate turn it down. Now, I'm not sure if the president has used his presidential duty. And I'm drawing a blank right now, Harold. I'm trying to think where he could, executive orders. I think that's what it's called. When he can put his executive orders into place. Because I know 46 did. 46 did it. We have adjustments to certain rates of pay. He's done that. Thank you, President. Thank you very much. Establishing U.S. Council of Transformational or Transnatural Organized Crime. That was executive order. Since he's been. He got a few. Look, Harold, if it was a race, he still got a ways to catch up. He has 77 currently. 77. Year two. I want to figure out how did on a one-year term, you got 5 years of executive orders for the previous president. Wow. So, let's do some things. Let's get these gun laws. You know it's going to dig into many pockets of manufacturers. They're going to fight it to the end. They pay in the lobbyists to say no. Smith & Wesson. I can't think of too many other companies. Harold, you might have to help me on that. Gun company, Glock.
Everybody's confrontational these days, man.
You know, they are fighting. They have legislation, have lobbyists to fight that. And that's crazy. That is absolutely crazy. We need to do some things about it.
You know what kind of party they have. Oh, okay.
Sunday morning. They have a tea party, and it's definitely not in Boston. They have a tea party in D.C.
Park your car at the harbor.
Let's pour all the tea in the river there, the Potomac,
mm-hmm.
and see what happens. See what happens. All right. Let's get back. As we're talking about guns by Uvalde, it was a lot of question about the emergency plan. Now, mind you, we saw the principal a little bit in the beginning. We see her now. But it wasn't a lot of focus on her between then and now. You know, what was the emergency plan? Now, I seem to know a little bit about educational preparedness. whether it's in the classroom or emergency preparedness, if need be. Now, they have weather, look, they have weather items that they can do with the kids get away from the windows, go in the, if it's a tornado, go in the hallway, get with somebody, go and kneel down, put your hands in your face. It's up to your face, or your head, or your face into your hands. Cover yourself up. Get under a desk. Whatever you need to do. But while we preparing for shooting, it may be in the emergency plan now, but there's been so many over the years. Columbine, Parkland, Jonesboro, you name, that's just a few. You know, one little girl, she played dead so that the shooter could continue and not get hurt. Why isn't that something that we teach all the kids? Play dead. You, maybe the term is too harsh. Maybe we need to say, just lay there and don't move. Because you never know what kids are thinking, play dead. You never know what psychological scar it may leave. Well, I tell you, the kids that survive Uvalde are scarred. So it's honestly damn if you do, damn if you don't. But we need to do something. Have these kids prepared because you never know what's there. Secondly, we need to be able to lock all the doors. That came out. Now, usually if it's good, bad, or indifferent, the person who's neck is on the line as the principal. Well, they saved this principal because they had doors unlocked. You know, we should have taken a page from Joe Clark. But when you try to change your door, somebody's mad. It's fire hazard. You can have a drill where you can have all your teachers have keys to get to these exit points. Because also you're saving yourself from somebody coming in. And it might be tough going out as well, but what do you do? What do you do? We used to have evacuation plans. I don't know. I'm sure they do. But we used to have it all the time, Harold. Every 6 weeks, we go out and run to the basketball court. We'll walk very quickly. Where's the preparation? Kids on the floor, some playing lifeless. I hate to use the other word, but they're playing lifeless on the floor. Potentially or not potentially, it saves some of their lives. But this is a drill that we need to do because this is happening more than not at these particular schools. Each state can take the bull by the horns. It shouldn't be a national thing, but work on your evacuations. You talk about tornadoes. You talk about torrential rain and things of that nature. Well, how about if a gun enter your school? That should be on the agenda now or in the forefront of saving these kids. 19 people died. 19 people would not have died had the door been locked. Or the military brass. Now, I love our men and women who defend us. I do. But when you look at some of those pictures, you're an officer hiding behind another officer. I'm just saying. That's what I've seen. And it hurts that, okay, you enter the building, you should have your body armor on. Someone should take
you. I don't know about all that.
Huh?
I don't know about all that.
Well, go ahead. Tell me what you're thinking.
About 7:30?
Huh?
About 7:30?
I still didn't hear you. I hear you, but didn't hear you. Tell us about it.
750.
All right, gotcha. Can somebody help us with that? Do we have our neighborhood school teacher with us? We have a caller from 817. How can we? What do you suggest that we do for these classrooms for these children? But I mean, it's just not children. It can be in a college setting. What do you suggest that needs to be done? You're hot, 817. Okay, they mute. Might have yourself on mute.
I was looking up this.
We'll come back to 817. Press 1 when you're ready. Ready to say something. Go ahead, Errol.
I was looking up where Manchin is being touted for making a deal with the Republicans, man. But I don't want to break into what we're talking about. We'll get to it. It just popped across my thing while I was looking for some other stuff.
Okay. Well, the thing is, when we deal with these kids, we should have a plan in place. All right? You never can practice that enough. We talk about inclement weather. You know, now this is a new narrative for us with the safety of our kids. And then it's always been there, but we never had the distractors that we have today. You know, someone may have walked in off the street at my school, had a gun, they going to get it. You didn't hear much about that 20, 30 years ago of somebody in the schools. You hear every now and then. But this is happening too frequently in America right now. I think if someone uses a gun in that fashion, you need to trace that gun back to wherever, whether it's Smith and Wesson. Everybody that came in contact with that gun, if you can, it's got to have a starting point and went somewhere and then went somewhere to get where it was at the end. I will get everybody that touched that gun that you can come up with if it was legally purchased. Now, you know, it's a different narrative if it's going and we can't trace it down. Those are things that we need to consider. You know, it's rough out there. And how many kids need to lose their lives in order for us to get this thing right? How many? It just hurts my heart every time. Every time we talk about this, people with these machine guns. Why? Why? That is the biggest question of the day. Why? All right. While you think about that, we'll throw some more things out. January 6th, still going on. You know, people damaging testimony has come out. Secret Service, people quitting, getting new jobs, Harold, getting out of the fire. But they should be still pulled back to talk about it. The 46th president, I found out this week, and we knew it. He has been one that's been able to take care of bills with no money. Now, he's been able to play Monopoly with America and around the world. With Monopoly bunnies, Game of Life, what else out there got money we play with in them games? He got them all. And right now we found out, he's interested in running again. His backers say if he mentioned too soon that he's running again, they weren't going to pay his bills. Did y'all hear that? they were not going to pay his bill. So a lot of people find no wrong in the 46th president, whether it's an insurrection, pardoning, or what the case may be, or may have been, excuse me, if he commits too early, they'll stop paying his bill. Now, did we hear this from his niece? Is everything that she mentioned, or everything she has mentioned, is coming to fruition? We thought it was a bitter niece. She may have been bitter. However, she told the truth. I think Mary was her first name. Mary was telling the truth. What is it going to take for us to realize everything we've seen, everything we have not seen, they're all going to come to fruition? The insurrection, fighting of the drivers, the Secret Service, everyone not on the same accord. And you know what? I've never seen in the midst of turmoil in this country. All my years of studying, I've never seen anything where a president wanted to be on the front line. He came out, he wanted to join them. But, of course, you know, Secret Service wasn't going to let that happen. What other evidence do we need? Now, are we twisting this up to, I just want the truth. I want justice to be in place for those who have broken the rule of law, of the law. When you can say, let's go get them, what other trigger words you need? I think a Gomer Pyle in them. Yeah, just that's a signal. Let's go get them. Let's go get him. Come on, y'all. All this political red tape that we're going through right now. How clear is it that somebody stole some candy from the candy store? Hey, it ain't like you go in there and get a bubble gum. You got the whole box. And we still don't do nothing. Those are the things that we are encountering in our country. I got one right quick. Everybody's wearing masks in the White House. Lord Jesus. I think of it now. I got to tell my offspring, you got to go get checked yourself. How is it that our president is getting COVID again? That should be the most secured area around. Do we have people around him that are not taking care of themselves? Well, they need to have a tracer. In most government facilities, it's called a fact finder. We got to find out the facts. Who else had it? A lot of people come in contact. We need, through the leadership, to take precautions. First of all, he's not as young as we are. That's first and foremost. You would think the way things have gone in this country that you build a tolerance against it. Mm-hmm. You know, but he seems to be unscathed when he comes out of it. Mm-hmm. Did he not get the super IV that was used in the previous administration? Or did the previous administration really have it? Now that we see how things are unfolding, I'm just trying to stimulate both sides of your brain this morning. What is it going to take? What is it going to take? Harold, what do you have to say about that part?
Man, you want to know my easy answer, Andrew? Education. We're going to have to start early and stay late. I mean, it's the only way we're going to be able to stay ahead, not just this country, but in the world, man. That's why we're losing all our jobs. I'm just sitting here looking right now, losing all our jobs. Not all of them are techie, but a lot of us to the tech, you know, stuff. We becoming a non-working country. It's going to start the show.
Yeah, I got called out this morning. Yes, it did. That's all right. I'll take that one. But as American citizens, you get tired. You get tired of, you know, and everybody knows, and I try to keep it as quietly as I can, because you try to keep your family, your radio family, and your personal family, you keep them protected. And to think that the potential of family being in school, potential of family making legislation or policy, that's what I wanted to say, for school, it makes you think. I could go up there and do a career day. And now career days are thought about a little differently when you go in these schools. You think, Lord, just get me in and get me out. So that's why I have a passion for that, because it can affect my friends and family. It is something that we all have to consider. Now, do you have teachers, guests coming in packing? That's the next thing, hell, they probably got to deal with. Well, I'm going to talk about cupcakes today. Let me go get my AR-15, walk into school. Talk about my bakery. Talk about knitting, those who knit. It just doesn't seem right. You know, how can you put both in the same sentence? You have metal detectors. Some schools don't even work. They're just there to be a deterrent for you to try to bring something. You know, I hate to beat a dead horse, but over in Mansfield, which is, I guess, is part of the Arlington School District, a young man go and bring a gun back. Where's the policy? Where are the detectors? Uvalde and Arlington, and I can't leave them out, proved that even if you think things are going well, you are susceptible to any and everything. For those schools that never have experienced this, don't get caught with your guard down. And Harold, that's the journalist saying that with your guard down. I'm going to tell you like it is in the hood. You got to keep your dukes up. Because if you don't keep them up, you're going to get knocked out. That was the rule. Get your hands up. You might get hit in the stomach, but not your head. And that's how our school districts need to do it. Keep your dukes up. You never know when you're going to fight with something. You just have to keep it going. Absolutely going. It's about 8:56 on top of the hour. Man, we got some, Harold, we got a good plan for you and everybody that's listening this morning. And we're going to try to get them on at the top of the hour. But we, And hopefully we got an award-winning person on listening in this morning, Harold. We'll talk about that a little later, too. Award-winning. But I want to bring in, let me make sure I get this right. There are a lot of things going on. We talk about our youth. We try to preserve them by teaching them right from wrong in our classrooms, giving them exposure to things, making them abreast of current events, just doing the best that we can so that we know that when we pass the baton to them that they're going to be great citizens or productive citizens in our country. And the next person that I have coming on, I don't know if I missed it, is none other than, I like to call him Dr. Maurice West. You with me this morning?
Yes, I'm here.
All right, you hear he's a little hoarse, but let me give him a formal introduction. Harold, one thing that we do at Listening Audience in our fraternity, the Kappa Alpha Psi, is that we train for leadership. And training for leadership is not just the members, but we have a youth group called Kappa Leaders. And we try to set an example for them. And this past week in Texas, we'll start abroad in Texas out of all the states in America. We brought them here to Texas. We even brought them closer and brought them to Dallas. We brought them even closer, Harold, to South Oak Cliff, the mecca of training there at Paul Quinn College. I want to introduce you all my good friend, my frat brother, none other than, I want to call him Dr. Maurice West. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Dr. Wiggum and everyone. I thank you for this opportunity. I do regret that I arose this morning with a little bit of a raspy voice, but I am here nonetheless. I would not have rescheduled because I know the importance of what you're doing with this media platform, and I appreciate a few minutes to share.
Okay. Tell us a little bit about your program, what transpired this week.
So 26 years ago, some leaders in our organization decided that it was important not just to have our year-round programming be robust, but oftentimes we have a miss in the summers because families are traveling, different activities, but there are a group of people that didn't have that opportunity but needed something. So Kappa Camp is a extension of our Guide Right Kappa Lead, but just local programming to provide information, ideas, strategies for young people to learn what college looks like, what military offers, what trade, or just being a creative entrepreneur. Because even if they want to own their own business, they need to have an idea towards that. So we bring them to Dallas the last 12 years, ascending on the campus of Paul Quinn College, thanks to the leadership of the college, thanks to the leadership of the administration, tons of volunteers, tons of supporters, staff who make this experience meaningful for them. This week, in our return to in-person programming since 2020, we brought in about 60 young men, immersed them into what it takes to run their own business, what it takes to market their own business, and how to create lifelong friendships at the same time, taking them to different settings, meeting other people that would like to share their knowledge and ideas was our goal. But along the way, we also strategize to enhance their sports acumen, their interest in a certain skill set. We introduced USA Lacrosse. We reinvigorated, and the statement reinvigorated, baseball, thanks to Mr. Summers and Mr. Andrew Wiggum, because we got away from something so critical in our pastime interest of it to do other things. We wanted to step into those spaces where they could say, I can do that. This sounds fascinating to me. I want to know more. And more importantly, The one way we were able to make it work, in addition to creative ideas, was we had them put down their phone, take away the electronic devices for a few days to just simply say, to make a difference, to be able to program, you need to step away from what fascinates you right now to add another level of fascination to you. And because of individuals who poured in, we had tremendous success.
Awesome. You know, I appreciate the opportunity to work with the young man that was there. And folks, I wish you all could have seen just the steps that were taken to support the vision. And to see these guys grow in a matter of 3 or 4 days, the maturity. And that's what we need more of with our youth. Our focus, of course, is on the young men. We challenge all our sorority sisters as well and other organizations to get these young folks and give them a chance. Get down, as old folks say, get down to the nitty-gritty of making them feel important, enriching their lives with a variety of activities. As Mr. West mentioned, you know, I came in on the baseball part, and I tell you what was interesting. You'd be surprised. A lot of kids are not familiar with baseball. We'll do football, basketball, but that's something that I try to instill in them that this can carry you a long way as well. And the mental capacity that it takes to play baseball as well. I try to use the analogy of reaction, because in basketball, if you're on my left, of course I'm going to go to the right. You've dictated which way I need to go. But in baseball, there's so many things you have to know how to throw. You have to catch. You have to know how to swing. You have to run the ball down. There's so many components. But in basketball, not in basketball or football, we can't excuse how many skills they need. But on defense, you're there to tackle. You're there to stop the offense. You can be one-sided. On offense, you're there to score or work on the defense, and you can be one-sided. You don't see the quarterback playing safety, a linebacker, not at the pro level. So there are certain things that you need, certain skill sets. And I noticed that in this camp from a bystander that these kids were equipped with a lot of things. Lockheed Martin, that I am just so pleased with those engineers that came over and had simple projects, had the young men think. And you could see that with the group, everybody had something differently. And that lets us know that in this complex world that we live in, we all have a role to play. And it may not look the same, but the outcome is what we're interested in. And I want to thank you all for your organization of this particular activity and all the activities. But you mentioned it is one of our principles as a member of the organization. And tell them how far, who do we invite? I know we came back for the first year, but under normal circumstances, who are the ones that we try to target throughout? Go ahead.
No, absolutely. And our target audience right now, and I say right now, has always been young men, ages 12 to 17, and it's really articulated 12 to 16, but we don't want to tell young people no, especially after enduring the last 24 months of limited access, limited information, and limited education. We're still returning from those things. So what we wanted to do and what we've always worked toward is to stimulate their ideas and cultivate what their interests might align with business, science and STEM, particularly innovation, other things that may fascinate them. We like to listen, learn, discuss it. And then we have industry partners that just bring things to the table. I would dare say, Mr. Wiggum, you're going to have your radio show live on site this time next year, largely because they need to know communication and they need to know what happens in that space, because the next radio host could be right there among us. So when we target and touch them, the first thing we want to do is engage them in an understanding that we're there to support them, we're there to listen to their thoughts, and then ideally, the curriculum lies in three areas: business and financial literacy, science, technology, engineering, and mathematics. We add an arts component every year that helps with that. And then lastly, sports, or even at that, sport and critical conversations. So among the week, they cultivate that through working in cohorts, small group, age appropriate, where they will work on a project in business. Sometimes we teach them business plans, but oftentimes we have to kind of give them a touch of business, but giving a focus in an area. This year was working on marketing and hashtags. But if they understand the message that a hashtag could create for them, directing someone to their business is fantastic. We also ask to take science, technology to create whatever their project is, add this element to it. We have to become the producers and not always the consumers. When you do that, you get them to get their ideas going. We are the people who will use the product, but how do we improve the product? But lastly, most importantly, we want them to be able to socialize, exchange ideas without having to have that distraction of something else. We ask the families across the country to look at it through the lens of a few days away from home to learn what college or away from home feels like, eating in the cafeteria, sleeping in the residence hall, and going to class, modeling what is expected of them, deadline-based, focus-based. We have excellent staff who come together. Our college-age students are just amazing. They're learning, but they're also doing work that shows and pours into them. Our professional staff will touch everything from their college experience to their mental health to their sports and well-being, but also bringing in individuals to reinforce it. So we believe we have a cutting-edge program, I would dare say, one of the best in the nation, that lastly and most importantly at this moment, that is very affordable. Typically in a two-week setting, you're going to have an expense of about $750 for 2 weeks of the experience. This year, we reduced it to $400, largely because we know we are returning from a experience where economics are a factor, but we also did 1 week virtual, 1 week in person. We wanted to be supportive of family to give young people something to do. And lastly, and significant, as they return to school, because they're going back now to a full year where things are returning to almost normal, we need them to be ready. We don't need them to walk in the door and they're ill-equipped to ask those tough questions, push the envelope on their own education, but be open to an instructional element where the teacher can teach and the administrators can train.
That's wonderful. And, you know, one thing I noticed, too, was the fact that there was a young man, I can't think of his name, he had his story, he was telling his story about how kids bullied him. And
you can
see even in activities that I conducted with them, he was the one kind of standing off to the side a little bit. And I'm glad you all recognized him because his place and space, I like to say, grew. Because he had the camaraderie, he was just one of the boys, young men that were in the camp. And then for him to win the war, you can see where his confidence soared. And who knows, he could be the next president, and not just him, but just anything. And folks, just that was, as a member of the organization, I know what we're trying to do. But when you actually see it in Mr. West see it all the time because he was with the guys, how the confidence level increased. And that's what we need in order to have future. We have to do that. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No. I was just, you get excited about stories like that. I'm sorry. You know, one of the things that helped with that, first, our application process will begin roughly in December of each year for the summer. Although we do year-round programming, once a month, we check in and engage them. Because we're national and we have other year-round programming, this young man, and I'll call him E because respectful privacy is extended, Eve was a young man that we learned about over the past 60 days. And with his family sharing stories, telling us more, we get the application, we get a photo, we get to see them. We get to identify them and learn about them before they arrive. So when they arrive, they're not just another registered applicant for a program. They become a part of our family. And in knowing that, we can say confidentially but respectfully, here's something to know. Here's something to highlight. And we didn't even know about bullying and self-confidence, but it allowed us to personalize his experience a little bit more along the way. But then finally, he earned that on his own. He had amazing character, wonderful personality. He's just a young man that tried to find his way. And over the last 2 years, isolated from others or limited, tough for them, and it's tough for us. It's tough for them because they aren't used to this in any magnitude. And they're trying to find their way through America, through the world, through friendship and all. But it's tough on us because if we don't identify that, if we don't see that, we don't help them. So we have to be less tough guys and more sensitive tough guys and tough ladies. We can't just tell them, oh, rub it off, oh, shake it off. It's okay. We have to ask that question, are you okay? Is everything okay? I mean, is everything fine? And how can I help you? You matter. You're important to me. And that's what we were able to do for him. He will be around for years to come. And I promise you this, Mr. Wiggum, and anyone listening, I invited or sent a message to this amazing team. They could be on listening. We will have that young man for years to come. I hope we've created a safe space, an environment where they can grow, but they're going to be the future leaders that will help continue to grow this 26-year-old program that has served over 3,000 young people from about 24 different states that come from large and rural communities with about average of 30 to 35 volunteers collectively annually that give over 300 hours of volunteer work. We're touching corporate. Thank you to every corporate sponsor, donor, contributor. You know who you are. I wouldn't want to miss one in this quick moment, but we could not do it without them. But lastly, that staff works 24 hours a day for about 7 days, I mean, for about 14 days, but planning goes on for about 9 months. Thank you to each and every one of them.
That's outstanding. And, you know, we want to challenge our other brothers and sisters who are in organizations, if you're Masonic or fraternities, sororities. Look, for the Ladies Bridge Club, domino playing brothers and sisters, we want everybody because our future is bright if we do something about it. And these kids,
absolutely.
You know, I love to think about a light bulb. It can't work unless it's plugged in. In the socket. And we need to prepare these kids to be in the socket so that when that switch is hit, they'll let their light shine. And that's what we need to be considering. A lot is going on. They're dealing with more things that we can't even imagine. Shootings in schools. And you never know the exposure that they have through their telephones and iPads. We didn't have all this. If it wasn't on Channel 5, 8, or 11, we didn't get it. So they had eyes, look, 1 through 200, even thousands got information there for them to use. So that it's much broader. But I tell you, this camp, it wasn't good for the kids only. It was good for the adults that participated, to see the growth and the short time that I spent with them during the camp. And let me tell you again with the baseball, everybody can play baseball until you give them a glove and bat and ball. And some of the kids, they just out of peer pressure, I can do it. But then again, where I had to come in, if they didn't know that if you're a right-hander, we had this, if you're a right-hander that the glove goes on the left hand. We had kids trying to put, I gave them a glove for a right-hander, that they try to stick their right hand in the glove. So you taught them, and they could look like, oh, and then they start coming down. One thing about kids, they're all going to be on the same level through conversation. Let them tell it. But when we did the skill, and they have many skills that they picked up in this week, Maurice West mentioned about the painting. And I'm still, if anyone's listening from Lockheed Martin, if I could do it all over again, I would. They were outstanding. And I'm sure you had other outstanding groups. You had a group from Maryland that did lacrosse. See, our kids just need exposure.
Yeah.
And that's what
This is a safe.
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead. No, this is you again. I thought we were on the back end and we were closing up shop and going into recovery mode because our days begin at 6 a.m. every morning. We go with, you know, with programming. We're up and down till about 10 o'clock at night. So, ladies and gentlemen, it's a long day, but it's a very positive day because they get a chance to try, fail, adjust, and try again. It's okay if they don't know it. It's the fact that they get to learn it. They get to be exposed to it. The first part of the morning, because of the hot conditions in Texas, always drove towards physical activity and sport. Yes, it's a little interesting to do sports in the morning, but it's safer because the weather wasn't as brutal during this time of the year. This was a hot summer. But they get the sport acumen. They get to test it. If they don't know that the glove needs to be on their left hand or right, so that they can throw, that's the best place for them to learn it with Mr. Wiggum and others. Lacrosse is something none of us really knew because we didn't have access, and it was largely because of the equipment cost. We went with the free sports or the sports that someone had a bat, ball, and a glove to give us to try it. This is the place where we want that to exist. USA Lacrosse, Texas Legends, the Dallas Mavericks partnered along with the college to teach some skill development in basketball and not just roll out a ball. We need them to learn those things. And even more, the rules, the future careers. They could become the GM, the official, all because we taught them why sports matter and not just playing. The middle of the day was always about the learning curve in business so that they could present. If you have an opportunity, our social media pages and Facebook has the videos of things that happen, you'll be blown away at the creative genius of these young men and the staff in their business plan challenge. Hashtags took on a whole nother level. And it was a fun, friendly competition, but it was intense because they built their confidence to have a voice.
Mm-hmm.
I looked at it late last night because I was still blown away at how young men were confident to speak their ideas and dreams. And then finally, there is a bevy of those critical conversations, as Mr. Wiggum mentioned. Lockheed Martin, thank you. Peterbilt, Custom Vehicle Solutions, and several others that just came together to help touch tomorrow today. I'm still excited about all of this.
And we appreciate, too, Maurice, that the involvement of the community, and when these kids were coming up with their projects on the last night, some of the kids that were very shy just came out of their shell. And I think some of them just enjoyed the fact that they had a microphone in their hand. But you can see some were nervous, some stepped up. The one young man, when the judges challenged him, he kind of came back and said, well, this is what we need. Let me ask you, judges. You know, and that was good. And that might have been that little fight in him that may have transcended to a fight in all of them. And just the way they got along, you know, you can, a bunch of boys together, you're going to have a little riff, But it seemed like it all came together at the conclusion. And Maurice just had some judges. Who were the judges that were there? And we want to tell them thank you so much for giving the kids advice as well.
Absolutely. You know, the young man you just referenced was challenged, and I'll do this as an introduction at the same time. The young man, initial T, was giving his pitch, and it was such a confident, bold and very aggressive appeal. You know, in business plans, they ask you to basically make a challenge or make an ask of your audience, which basically supports whatever your vision or dream is. And he did that, and honestly, Mr. Wiggleman groups, and this is no bias to the other groups, but I knew at that moment, after 12 years of building it and watching it, they won at that moment. Because his appeal and his charge to the judges was something that they could not deny was an element of how businesses work, to put people on the spot to make an ask of them, to challenge them to support it. And they said that they would do it. So due to Ms. Nicole Mora, Senior Vice President of Unify Federal Credit Union, Katie Radon, who is on staff strategist with Trinity Industries, Mr. Michael Guidry, who is a retired executive engineer with Frito-Lay and now an adjunct professor in the Dallas Colleges, Ms. Tiffany Young, who's attorney consultant and also former Dallas City Councilwoman, and then Dr. Raphael Turner, who is the Dean of Students at Paul Quinn College, and one in particular who was unable to be with us but worked tirelessly to be there, Mr. Quincy Roberts of Roberts Trucking. These individuals bring them real-world conversation. They evaluate them, not with all the gentle kid glove, but they give them a firm, encouraging evaluation. Because we don't need to just tell them something to feel good. We need to tell them the truth. We want to encourage and excite them. My opinion is all of them were winners. All of them had an opportunity to excel. And naturally, winners win. We have to evaluate the best of show. But know everyone that walks in and out of there are celebrated. They are respected. But we also have some amazing products that were brought to full display.
Right. Oh, absolutely. I agree with you wholeheartedly. And from my eyes, just watching, you know, I think about people in my life that push me into things that I never thought I would do. Yeah, I was shy at first, but once they gave me the microphone, it was over. And that's what we want out of these kids. Those who were very shy, but then they picked up. And then, like you said, the young man, they even had a group. It was a bunch of young campers. Man, they had everybody almost in tears of just how they were bringing forth what they had, telling their little story about the ups and downs of their lives in the midst of their project. And that was very forthcoming to the judges. One of the judges said that she was about to cry. And it was just a tearjerker that the kids kind of had your emotional roller coaster going. The sadness through happiness for them, the compassion, and just giving them an opportunity to tell their story. And just the camaraderie that they've gained, 50 new friends. 70, how many you had total campers?
This year we had 62. Our normal capacity is 62 this year. We normally have about 150, but we did a slow, very deliberate return that cut our program by 50% to be responsible.
Right.
All strategies, all protocols and processes for a safe return in the COVID environment were implemented. Everyone that works is trained and prepared with child abuse, first aid, CPR, and even what to watch in a mental health space so that we can have that happen with responsible and meaningful existence through that period of time. So thank you to all who did that as well.
Oh, absolutely wonderful, wonderful. And, you know, our future leaders are there in that room. And again, I challenge other organizations, whether it's civic organization, fraternal, sorority, you know what? The kids are just looking for leadership and guidance, and this is what we can give back to our communities through programs like this. May not have to be at this level of keeping them at a week or two, but you know what? You can work on it every weekend or once a month to try to get the kids in the right frame of mind, because an idle mind is a dangerous mind for these kids. They have too much time to think about other stuff. And with the way their access that they have today, you know, everything they see is not pretty. So we need more programs like this. Now, Mr. West, how can our listening audience, what is needed if they wanted their son to be a part of the organization next summer?
Well, there's a couple of ways to do it, and certainly there's a website. If you go and do a Google, if you do a Google search, and this is easy, just so no one will forget it, Kappa Camp is spelled with two K's, K-A-P-P-A, K-A-M-P. Uniquely, there are two programs that you might see. One is Camp Kappa, and that's in Virginia. Wonderful program, providing similar projects and ideas. And then you also see Kappa Camp, kind of flipped, kind of crazy, but they're the same. But Kappa Camp is in Dallas. Go to the website, send us a message. We'll keep you updated on everything, add you to the distribution list. But you will see updates there often on when programs are going to be hosted. You'll also see the registration. Registration, again, begins around December. We'll push out the application, what you need to know. There's a chock full of information that will be updated with this 2022 video and photos and other. But then lastly, you'll see our content. You'll see our curriculum. You'll see the work that we're trying to do. And we're also looking for volunteers. We're also looking for sponsors. Our ultimate goal, in addition to the program, is to provide them with technology so we can touch tomorrow today. We can integrate ideas into their thoughts. STEM is a critical element. Sports is definitely a critical element. But just being able to touch entrepreneurs. And, yes, we have a demand where we can always sprinkle some newness into it in ways that are possible. We would love to have a sponsor that focuses on their technological needs. We would love to have a sponsor that works on scholarships. We would love to be at a place where we can have scholarships that are available for these young people so that we don't have to have an issue where I have these ideas, I want to take it to college, but I don't have the resources. Financial aid can only do so much. There's some family contribution that can only do so much. Some young people need help with filling the gap. So if there's an interest, if there's a support, an opportunity, we welcome it. These programs are sponsored through chapters around the country that are members of Kappa Alpha Psi because of the work that we do with our fundraising, social events. So everyone is already involved. We just have to know it. And the more you give, the better. And then we have some foundational support. We have some corporate in-kind donations. Those things make a huge difference. So you'll see all of that on the website, on our social media pages. And again, it's Kappa Camp, K-A-P-P-A, K-A-M-P. And you can get it there. And then it also has a direct link to an email address, kappacamp@pqc.edu, that we regularly check and also respond to. Before I wrap it up or any on this part, I've got to say thank you to the administration of Kappa Alpha Psi, Mr. Reuben H. Shelton III, who is our international president, for his tremendous support. He gives us full rein to dream big. His administrative team, I serve as the national chairman. We can get anyone to support us because they believe in young people. We also have the tremendous support of Paul Quinn College. Dr. Michael Sorrell was the first to have a vision and a thought that we could do this. We sat and wrote a curriculum that would align with the college's goals and other colleges and universities. This is not just about one, but it's about all, because we also want to send our young people to your colleges and universities. I'm going to send a shout out to all the schools that have done the college fair. We want you back in 2023. We just did a reduced, scaled-down version for this summer. But we want you to be able to touch them through the week. So a call out early, Mr. Wiggum, is that we want Florida A&M to host the day. We want Tennessee State to host the day. We want Southern University to host the day, because then they get a chance for those young people to wear gear, be a part of that culture, be a part of what that might become. And that doesn't limit that Harvard, Penn, Yale, or others could do it. But we want to touch them where they're going to fit, feel good, and belong. And so we want the colleges involved as well. This is an exciting experience. I'm already, as you can tell, thinking about 2023 and how we can continue to touch them, because they're coming out of a pandemic. They have to be stimulated to think, and they have to excel in the classroom. Sports will take care of itself. Let's get them ready to be our next great leaders.
Well said, well said. And folks, again, K-A-P-P-A, K-A-M-P. Go online and find out. For those who are in other parts of the country listening, there are Catholic chapters throughout this country. Just try to find a local one in your, as they used to say, in your neighborhood or in your vicinity. And just get your kids involved. Church groups, I know with the youth, get a local chapter there, come in and work with your groups there at your church throughout the country. It's all about, if we don't take care of our young men, and we challenge the sororities as well to take care of the young ladies, if we don't take care of our young people, who else will? We don't want the street trying to train them for leadership. We don't need the corner store to train them for leadership. We need our schools. We need camps like this that would allow them to grow. And I'm just saying, they were soaring with just pride within themselves. You know, the young men were dressed nicely. Some we still got to work on, because, you know, it's okay. You have to start somewhere. And
number,
you know,
right there, you know what that's about.
Yeah. It's a matter of economics.
You know what that's about. That's a need.
Yeah, for some.
So that means, right, that means men's warehouse, we need you. Joseph A. Bank, we need you. We need a custom clothier, we need you. Let's make them feel good, look good, and then they return to all that good that you want them to become. These young men are not lost. They just need another playbook, and we're creating that playbook. I'm sorry. I'm getting hype again.
No, but that's what we need. And we appreciate your hypeness with this. You've been doing it for several years, and I feel good that the fact that we have it right here in our own backyard in Dallas, Texas. We also, we were in Piney Woods, Mississippi, a great location as well. Centrally located in this country, a little harder to get to Jackson than it is to Dallas. But I want to thank the chapters throughout this country, kids from participating from California, what we call an old camper, a kid that was in the program and stuff, thought enough to come back and be a counselor. And this hurts me to tell you where he's going to school, but we're going to give him shout-outs this morning. He's going to Tuskegee. But you know, just to see him grow over the years has just been absolutely wonderful. And then the other young men, Mississippi State, Jarvis Christian University, some thinking about Morehouse, one going to Howard. One said he was interested in FAMU. We got some work to do. FAMU was a little slow, but he had another offer. But you know what? We just have to keep them moving wherever they want to go. If they want to go to the University of Texas, that's their prerogative. We just want to stir the interest in them to want to matriculate at the next level. That is the key. And camps like this, you know what? It made me recommit. It's one thing when you drive your kids to do things, but when other kids have you have their undivided attention, that is really the cherry on the sundae for me. Just the power. And don't misunderstand what I'm saying with the power. But the power to influence, not the power to be over, but the power to influence our youth in a positive manner goes a long way, a long way. So I'm excited. Can't wait to next year. Go ahead. What do you have to leave us with?
I want to highlight one more thing, if we can. I know that we don't want to eat up all of your content time. But just so that they understand, and again, those who will listen now and later, This isn't about the elite level, those who have great families, just need an out. We had a young man, no one knows it but me, we had a young man who got kicked out of school 76 times. Even this year, he was dismissed from school because he just couldn't get it right. Now, whatever that is, after I asked and learned and discussed it with his school administration, I had a conversation with him before he arrived. He committed to and is working towards reducing the amount of times he got kicked out of school. And in the month of May, he didn't get kicked out one day. They aren't coming from perfect environments, so we're not looking for a perfect kid. But we are looking for someone that has something that they want to offer to society, a behavior and a mindset, because I will send them home. But I don't want to. We don't want to. We want them to come knowing that there's a bright future ahead of them. And maybe they've never been told that. So they're not all perfect people because we're not perfect. So we cannot look for them to bring a perfect setting, I mean, perfect attitude to this setting, but bring us something to work with. And I think we can take the rest.
That's perfect. Couldn't have been said any better than that. You know, again, the kids are coming from various backgrounds, and they may not be able to see beyond their communities. But this gave them an opportunity. You know, I think about Olita Adams and one of her songs, "You Can Get It." Just get here if you can. Trailway, byway, railway, whatever you can. And these kids came from Houston, Mississippi, California, some kids from the East Coast. It's amazing. I had a couple of kids from Dallas. But the thing is that we didn't limit ourselves. It would be great if we can get a kid from Japan or international. That's maybe the next goal, and bring them into a situation like this. I mean, I want to applaud you, Mr. West. I want to applaud Kappa Psi. I want to applaud all the volunteers and staff members. You definitely have a heck of a staff that's working with you to enrich the lives of those young men that were at the camp. And I only think of brighter and bigger things in the future as we continue to shape the minds of our future. Now, let me let you in on something I always do while I'm always involved. Somebody got to support the Social Security. If it'll be around, I don't know. But as long as you're working, you contribute. If we keep them working, you might be able to get a little bit more, but that's only from a selfish standpoint. I look at that and I laugh because, again, we just need them employed so they can better their lives. And by bettering their lives, they're able to better other lives. And that's something that you need to stress, not only to our campers, but to kids that you come in contact with, folks who are listening this morning. You know, Mr. West, I apologize for his raspiness. I've been talking all week as well. But we wanted to make sure that we show make sure our listening audience would hear that we don't give up on our future or their futures. Just give them an opportunity to shine. And that's what some of them just need, the opportunity. So we thank you so much, Mr. West, for what you do. And, folks, money is great, but time is more valuable. If you got time to come out and help, or bring your company. It's nothing like seeing those kids light up. To me, they look like it was Christmas morning for some of them. And that's what it's all about, changing lives one kid at a time. Again, thank you, sir. You're always welcome.
Thank you.
Always welcome.
Don't
come back.
Absolutely. And thank you. Thank you for this opportunity. Thank you for serving. Mr. Wickham doesn't mention it. He is a part of our national committee for the Kappa Camp Leadership Program. So thank you for using your platform in a way to publicly promote the work we do, and we appreciate everything you've done this week to inspire them. So like I said, next year, let's do some things in the space of communications, and maybe we can abbreviate your Sunday schedule and do it live one day during the week.
All right, sounds great. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
So great things are happening in Dallas, just not in Oxnard, California. We have real stars right here in Dallas, Texas, taking advantage of the opportunity to change the lives of so many kids that they come in contact with. As we wind things down, this is about 40 minutes after the hour. I want to bring on somebody. They thought they got by this week. The person that makes this possible for me, I want to tell her congratulations on her great accomplishment. You know, you talk about James Brown, the hardest working man in showbiz. The hardest working person in journalism is right here in Dallas, Texas. Let's bring on Ms. Cheryl Smith so we can give her her kudos. Good morning, Dr. Smith. Dr. Smith, good morning. She'll come on. Here we go. I'm trying to get her in, and she's pressing the button.
I'm here.
Yeah, good morning, and congratulations.
Well, thank you. Thank you. I'm surprised you're not going to join me. You're always there for me.
Yeah, for the most part, but you know what? If they Zoom, it's been a busy year for me. We still have some international travel. I'll leave that out there. That's coming up here very shortly. And it's been a very taxing thing on the wallet this year. Very taxing. But tell us what we're about to get in the city of lights and cameras and action.
Oh, I don't know. If you say it like that, I am going. Of course, we have the National Association of Black Journalists Convention every year, and this year on Friday, they are going to induct people into the Hall of Fame.
Wow! Do we know anybody personally?
Well, I tell you what, there are two Rattlers. And the dad of a Rattler, I got to check Dr. Levi Henry's pedigree on that because he's been such a supporter of Florida A&M. But, yes, I am being inducted into the Hall of Fame.
Well, congratulations. Honor that's well-deserved. You know, you and I, some many years ago, I was just a freshman at Florida A&M, and you were always starting your course to perfect your craft. And I thank you. We noticed even then, when I got the opportunity to come to Dallas, you've given me the opportunity to do what I like to do, and everybody know I love the cause. But with your leadership, the guys, you've gone to great heights, and you know how the song saying that your living would not be in vain. They're gonna make you immortal of your hard work that you put in, and I know you have more to go, and I know you're not gonna stop. And we just so proud of you. Huh?
I said, can't stop, won't stop.
Right. You know, that is your passion with the challenging of digital media. You've adapted. You've gotten partnerships with some of the larger stations or larger communication companies here in the Dallas area. So you're doing your thing, and I hope those who are listening, you know, kind of tune in to Cheryl. Cheryl's doing great things. I'm on board, but I need to get more on board. We're working through this. There's some logistic things I'm working on this thing. But you talk about somebody working day and night. That need to be your theme song, Michael Jackson, Working Day and Night.
You know, I kind of cool Mo D. I go to work.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, I take that with me. You know, I get paid to rock the nation in a different kind of way, as Moses Weiss says. But, yeah, I am, you know, when we look at the work that we do and what we could continue to do, and I just have to say I do it for my people. That's what I wanted to do. And there have been some because, you know, we have to learn how to love ourselves.
Oh, absolutely.
And that has been the challenge. Is like, you know, sometimes I will take something from somebody just because. And like when we're trying to get the paper out and everything, and we know the young people are not going to take it as readily as our older people are. And because they're just not into paper. But the older ones, you are into paper, and you know, we just need to be more supportive because we still look at there are two types of ice, and there is only one type, and nobody's is colder, you know, and so it's a challenge. It's a labor of love. And, you know, I love what I do. I love, you know, when, you know, we can do what we're doing and support projects like Kappa Camp that has done so much for so many. And you just think if everybody did a little bit instead of, you know, it's kind of like when people say, well, LeBron needs to give this and Oprah needs to give that and Michael Jordan needs to give that, and they not giving anything. So, you know, it's more of us who don't have millions who need to be given stuff, as opposed to trying to spend other people's money and be in their pocket.
Correct. Correct, correct. Well, you know, and folks who are listening, this is Cheryl Smith, the award-winning, and now she's going to – will you get a bus in the Hall of Fame?
Yeah, I am so – out of it in a sense that I was surprised that, you know, I was nominated and, you know, I got a call from one of our board members and he was just saying, you know, it was without a doubt, you know, and talked about the support that I had. And I just was really surprised because it was not even on my radar. And in fact, for this convention, I was going there chilling like a villain. This is the first convention in 5 years that I had it, 6 years that I haven't been on the board. And so I don't have to work. And I was just going to have a good time. And I'm still going to have a good time. And like my Richard Moore in Ghana, the rattler, who is like God's brother and supporter for decades from East Orange, New Jersey. He's like, enjoy the ride. You know, I wish I could be there, just like I know he would be there with you. He just enjoy the ride. So I'm going to enjoy it. I like the work I do. I want to encourage others to do it. And just keep it moving. This is 195 years of the Black Press. And, you know, and I just am glad that I'm a part of that history. I'm glad that I have remained true to it in spite of, you know. Yeah, so she's given, little bit, giving her little 2 cents.
That's a future. She got a story to tell. But folks, if you don't know, Cheryl Smith has been one of the ones through different platforms. She has stayed the course. She's part of the NABJ, National Association of Black Journalists. And when you look at your local television stations, have you seen things kind of brown up a little bit? Channel 8 has done an outstanding job of following through. Channel 11 has done their part, a black anchor. Channel 5. I mean, all the local stations have done their due diligence to brown things up a little bit. And that's because they had to stick to it. And even, you know, you look at, hate to call names, because our weekend anchor on Channel 11 kind of favors me. The weekend anchor on Channel
11. I was going to say Steve Pickett, but, you know.
Yeah, I'm not. But
I can't
Steve
say
and
about
right, but our local. So when you call one name, you don't get criticized for not. I can call a few names. And
yeah,
just a young lady.
We have some stellar journalists and who are members of NADJ. A lot of good things happening with them, and we need to be very supportive. We just need to support all around. Stop looking for excuses or explanations for not supporting one another. Just cut it. Just, you know, just shut our mouths when we want to think of something negative to say, because there's plenty of negativity to go around. We don't have to add to it. I would say to us, even if we discuss what is going on with Brittany Griner, and thanks for having that discussion, I would just say to you that something else is going on, and we really need to be cognizant of that, because when our attention is diverted too much to the left, something is going on the right. When we're looking in front, we need to be looking behind, because something else is going there on there as well. And understand that we have to be ever vigilant, and we have to be on top of things. And we don't need to add to the negative narrative that continues to tear us down and tear our people down.
Mm-hmm. Well, this morning, I don't know if you were on this morning. I was reading from a publication that it's funny how we think, and it's a Texas publication. You know, if you're in a holding cell getting ready to go to court, they call it a holding cage.
Uh-huh.
And so instantly, you know where my mind went. Why does she have to be in a cage and everybody's in a holding cell?
We have to do, and I heard you talking about that, and we have our due diligence that must take place, and we're looking at what is happening. And that is why it is even frustrating. You talk about that. I want to talk about writing in America. Why is it that the state of Texas has billions of dollars, and they've committed to $1 billion to put air conditioning in the prisons? And like Representative Carl O'Sherman said, when he went into the warden's office, guess what? There was air conditioning. When he went in the commissary, there all these places he went, and there was air conditioning. But where these inmates, where those incarcerated are at, it's hot, isn't it? You know what? And so, you know, for me, you know, the question is, you know, we're talking, we understand about, you know, the treatment of Brittany Griner. You know, I've been on top of it and encouraging her release for ages. And I don't want to hear about what other people did or who would get out. And you can just get her out. Act like she's your daughter, your sister, your cousin, your auntie, your niece. And get her out. And for these prisons and the state of Texas, for those people who want to say, well, that's what they get for committing a crime, I say shame on you, because, number one, everybody in prison is not guilty. And even if they are, some of them are going to walk these streets again one day. And if you treat them like animals when they're incarcerated, how the heck do you think they're going to act when they get out? And do you want that person living next to you after you have treated them so inhumanely? They take on, just like many of us have done, we're taking on the face of our oppressor. We become worse than the slave master. So we got to show some love. We got to get it together and get ourselves focused. So I turn it back over to you and tell Harold, you know, I heard until I came on, I still love you.
I guess he's trying to find a mute button to get it off. But he's fine. And we thank you so much. And congratulations on being inducted to the Hall of Fame for the National Association of Black People. That's unbelievable. Folks, can you conceptualize how many black journalists are out there that we've seen in our lifetime and how many have reached the pinnacle of their craft? And we want, and it feels good when we recognize our own as well. Y'all just don't know how good it makes me feel. It's one thing to be recognized by others, but when your own peers recognize you, it has a special place, especially in my heart as well. So, again, congratulations. Folks, as we wind things down, I want to thank everybody. I want to thank Maurice West and the staff of the Capital Camp. I want to thank Cheryl for her great appointment. I'm telling you, great things are going on in Dallas, Texas, and great things are going on in your neighborhood as well, your prospective neighborhood. Harold doing his thing. You still with me, Harold? He's there. He's there. He's up there looking for news. But it's been an outstanding day, and we hope you take these nuggets and let them shine. Let the sun hit it. Let you know that you start your week off well with some vital information that has happened this past week and that's going to happen this weekend in the city of Las Vegas, Nevada. Congratulations, Cheryl. Congratulations, Mr. West. Both. Job well done. And again, we'll be back next Sunday with The World According to Drew. And I want you to always remember, all things are possible because we only have a one-time God. I'm out. Peace. Oh!